This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is Wyman and Bob with Ryan Roland Smith sitting in for Dave Wyman, who's headed out to Pittsburgh for the Seahawks preseason game with the Steelers. So we got Ryan sitting in with us today until 4 o'clock when we turn you over to the pregame show, game one of the Mariners series with the Texas Rangers coming your way. We do have Mean Text coming up at 3:45. A reminder, we do have a new text number. I'll keep repeating this for a while until people get used to it. But the new number, in case you're just tuning in, 866-979-3776. Again, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So use that for your Mean Text. Get creative. We'll do that at 3:45. Ryan, have you've been a part of Mean Text before, right?
I think so. I think I was in one time. I mean, there were a couple of mean ones. I don't know if it was actually Mean Text, but there was a couple of mean ones on a Monday.
But... just general Mean Text?
Yeah, just general.
There was no humor attached to it. It was just mean.
Yeah.
Nobody says anything mean about you. Come on, man. Everybody loves you.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe you guys just screen them for me. I don't know, because I can't see them in front of me right now. I wish I could, though. I do like one of my favorite things, and getting a chance to fill in when Dave's been on, you know, doing his thing outside of the studio and hanging out with you and Mike. One of my favorite things is to watch the scroll of text messages come through and, you know, read some and, you know, pass through some others. It's fun. I don't have them in front of me right now, though. I wish I did.
The most recent one that just came in from the 360, we love Ryan. I don't know who we is. Apparently, the 360 is speaking for everybody, but they said we love Ryan.
That's actually Ryan's phone number. His other one,
Mike. I told you not to. Come on,
my bad.
Hey, by the way, before we move on, did your wife happen to hear when you were talking to us last time when you said you don't turn the air conditioning on because you want to save gas?
She did. She did actually. She left it on because she was trying to explain to Kennedy and Lennox why my two kids. Why is Daddy getting out of the car and walking the rest of the way? Because so I could talk to you guys. So she turned it on for them, and she could hear it. She had a good laugh too. She had a good laugh. She thought it was funny, but and she was kind of nodding her head apparently. But you've brought it up already. We're going to go see Adam Ray watch his stand up tomorrow night. She's like, oh man, she's like, you know, Bob Stelton and Mike Lefko are going to be. I said, yeah, we're going to be hanging out with them. She's like, oh, I'm embarrassed now because they think the family's too cheap to fly to Arizona. I said, you're good. They're looking forward to meeting you, so it'll be fun.
Yeah.
You can rip her a little bit tomorrow night. That'd be funny.
Yeah, it's listen, you're the one that's the target in that whole city, and you put it on you. You don't include her really.
That's
so
true. Yeah.
Yeah, we look at her as a victim in this whole thing.
She is.
We've got sympathy for her. It's like, oh, that was a great line though. Turning, I don't use the air conditioning the whole time. Want to save gas? So it's awesome. Meanwhile, Mariners have a lineup with Julio and Haniger in it for the very first time since April 29th. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and before we get into that, I got to ask you, this was another thing Dave and I were talking about. I guess I've got to stop underestimating Mitch Haniger, because I felt like I was trying to prepare myself and the fans for, hey, he played 9 games. This is like spring training all over again. It might take him a minute. It might take him some time. So let's just be patient and allow him to find his rhythm and find his timing and everything up there at the plate. Well, what do I know, Ryan? I mean, he's had a hit in every single game since he's been back. He's hitting over 400 with almost a 500 on base in those games. And he looks exactly like mid-season Mitch. And he did that last time he came back. So I guess I should stop underestimating him.
Yeah, I think too. And I got a chance to talk to you guys, you know, earlier in the week about this. Mitch Haniger took a long time to come back. And that was partially because he wanted to make sure that he could do everything. We talked about Kyle Lewis earlier, not that he was rushed back, but you don't want a situation, and this would tell you a lot, if Mitch was coming in, playing a bit of the outfield, having to have a day off after 2 straight days, having a DH, then go back in the outfield. No, he was playing right field right away, and that was a huge sign. So I think for Mitch, and he's been through this before, obviously he had, 600-plus days or something of missing out on playing baseball with some significant injuries, and he dealt with the stuff. The fact I don't like guys taking their time too much, but the fact he took enough time. I went down. I was actually in AAA. I went down to Tacoma to watch him in AAA, a couple of weeks ago, and he hit the home run. As soon as I walked up the stairs to go to peep out the field, there's Mitch Haniger hitting and whack, hit the home run. I'm like, man, he's ready. He's ready to roll. And then there was a good batch of days, a lot of at-bats in between that. So I think he's given himself enough time to be in that mid-season form. He's seen enough 95s, 96s to have his timing back. Because, like you said, you don't want a situation, yeah, Mitch Haniger's back, and then 2 weeks later he's kind of hitting, you know, 150, trying to get his feet wet. So I think that he's come back at the right time. I really think so.
Well, and we're going to get a chance now to see how Julio Rodriguez handles it. I mean, because he's, you know, he obviously had the tweaked wrist after the All-Star game and dealt with that. But now he's been out for, you know, a good chunk of time dealing with the other wrist after being plunked. So we'll see. You know, I don't know what to expect from him. Is it maybe take him some time, or do you think he just picks up right where he left off, or how do you feel about his return?
Yeah, I think, and I've heard some people say, oh, you know, hopefully he doesn't come out of the gates way too excited, trying to do too much. I want to see him do that. That's how he's at his best, I think. And you can stumble along the way, but I want to see him come out with his hair on fire. I think with Julio Rodriguez, you saw him, and I've been sort of paying attention when he's in the dugout and everything else. He's not sitting there with his giant cast on his wrist, and all of a sudden now he's taken it off and hit twice in the cage. He's been, I'm not going to say game ready, but he's been game speed for a while now. They've taken their time with him as well. So I don't anticipate him, you know, not being at game speed. I do see maybe trying to do too much, maybe swing a few pitches that are outside the strike zone. But look, we've seen this from him before. I want to see him coming out of his shoes. And I think he will tonight, and he'll be so excited. You know, even from the energy of the All-Star game, home run derby, or it's taken a long time for him to get back amongst his guys and do his thing. So I'm so excited for him to come back. I think he's going to be just fine, and he might be over the top, too much going on with him.
Hey, give me a pitcher's perspective on facing this lineup now with Mitch Haniger in it, with Julio Rodriguez, with Ty France. I mean, we had talked about it before when any one of those guys are missing, much less two or three of them, how shallow this lineup is. And I just picture an opposing pitcher going, oh, this is going to be easy or this is going to be fun. That's different now. Now you've got your full complement of players for the most part. How do you view this? Do you look at this and say, well, if I'm the guy on the mound, those are the three I worry about. The other guys I feel like I can really go after. Or how much does it change with their presence?
Oh, it changes a bunch. And the big factor, and again, we have talked, you and I have talked about this a lot. When you see J.P. Crawford hitting ninth, and it is not because, or maybe he's in a bit of a slump, there is nowhere else to put him. Because it is that it's so much deeper, just obviously with Julio coming back and Mitch Haniger. So when you look at this, when you're pitching against this, and you go back to the beginning of the year, you can look at this and say, okay, once I get past Eugenio Suarez, there's no Carlos Santana, who's been a threat lately. Once you get past him, all right, I can have those, you know, every third inning where I can roll through a 7-8-9. You just can't do that now. Even with J.P. Crawford, he's hitting 255. Now, I'm a lefty. He's not hitting lefties as well. But even with him at the bottom of the lineup, from 1 through 9, you have a situation where it's going to take you 6 pitches. You cannot simply just try and attack guys throwing it over the plate. It's going to take you some of those big at-bats that we've seen, and they've had that all year long, even with Adam Frazier too. Adam Frazier, early in the year, they're kind of forcing the playing time from him because they wanted him to get going. Well, he's a different guy now. He would be one of those guys that, oh, yeah, he's going to be in the lineup, you know, left on left. He's going to be in the lineup, but he's struggling right now. But I know he's going to be in there, and I can pitch to him. You can't do that now. So, man, it's amazing what happens when all of a sudden you inject, obviously, Mitch Haniger and then Julio at the top, what it does, where it puts guys who are normally, we've seen this for a couple months, JP hitting in the five hole or even hitting up in the top three. Now, all of a sudden, they're the bottom third of the lineup. And that's exactly where you want to be offensively if you're this team.
Hey, one other thing we were talking about this week is that Mitch is a free agent after this year.
Yeah.
And going into this season, Ryan, I think you and I even talked about it, the outfield looked really crowded. Mm-hmm. They traded for Winker, so there's a new outfielder. You've got Julio there. Kyle Lewis was part of the equation. Jared Kelnick was part of the equation. Taylor Trammell was part of the equation. Mitch Haniger was part of the equation. So you're looking at all these names and bodies going, okay, these are all young guys who could be part of your future, and Mitch is the older guy, so maybe this sort of signals the end for him as a Mariner. And now you fast forward, you've got one consistent, solid outfielder in Julio Rodriguez. I think Winker is not a great defensive outfielder. And then right field, we've seen, you know, Kelnick is down in AAA. Kyle Lewis is down in AAA. Taylor Trammell is coming back from injury. So it's not nearly as deep as it was. Do you? I look at it and go, man, you gotta sign this guy. I'm not saying you sign him for 10 years or 5 years even, but I think you've got to bring him back because of what he brings on the field, but almost as importantly, who he is off the field and in that clubhouse for such a young team.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to go with this, and you know, with you talked about the outfield depth and with Mitch Haniger. Now, at the end of last year, he had 39 home runs, and a lot of people saying, oh, sign him up to an extension. Well, that's when his value was at a premium, I think, even though he wasn't a free agent. You mentioned a couple of situations. Now, first of all, obviously Julio Rodriguez, he's in that situation. Jared Kelenic is not panning out the way they thought he was going to pan out. Simply, Kyle Lewis, same thing. So the crowd, like you said, hasn't quite been there. You're also factoring in the fact that Mitch has been injured this year, so that is a little bit of leverage towards him as well. He's 31 years old, and coming off his last 4 years, you know, close to 40 bombs when he's healthy. I think that he can sustain the health. I know he hasn't. We haven't seen that this year with this ankle sprain, but I agree with you. I think the situation with Mitch Haniger, Julio Rodriguez, have to make up that outfield. The other part of this is, too, Jesse Winker, I think coming into next year, he has struggled this year. And when I say struggled, physically he has not been the same as what he was a year ago. There's just not that the exit velocity is down. There's not that extra 20 feet of carry off his bat. I think he's lost a little bit of power. And when that happens, I believe that when he goes into this offseason, they're going to make adjustments to get some of that explosive strength back if he's lost it or something. I think he's going to come into this year. Now, I don't want to fast forward too much because they're in the midst of a playoff run right now. But I think Jesse Winker is going to be a completely different guy going into 2023. I think he's going to be physically stronger. Making some adjustments with his swing, that's great. But I think he is going to actually be stronger where he was going back, you know, 6 to 12 months ago. That's one thing to think. Now, if that happens, if he doesn't do that, if he goes off to Europe and backpacks or something, I don't know. But if he goes off and dials it in this offseason, he will be a different guy, the same guy we saw coming out of Cincinnati last year. But I think Mitch, 100%, if you can have a situation where he wants to come back as well, but he wants to stick around. I think 100%, if that opportunity is there, he's 31 years old, absolutely.
Yeah, and he's I just love the guy. I love his demeanor. I think he's so even keel. I think he's just such a value to a team that is so young, and I think there's a lot of respect for him in that clubhouse. And what he provides on the field when he's healthy is indisputable. We've seen it.
And just speaking of that too, we don't see it, you know, out there as much. Like, oh, you know, I'm helping. And Mitch doesn't talk about how much he has an impact on young players, because I asked him about it too. See, Taylor Trammell on my podcast, and he could not wait. I said, is there anything you want to talk about? He said, yeah, I want to talk about what Mitch Haniger's meant to me. I'm like, okay. Wow. All right, we'll get right to it. And there was that. And then I asked Mitch about it. He goes, Mitch wasn't like, yeah, man, we did this, I did that. He was just like, yeah, that kid's been working his butt off. He's going to be really, really good. It's kind of that vibe of, I'm going to look after these guys and make an impact with them, but you may not see it as much publicly. I'm not going to get out there and, you know, let everyone know how amazing I am in the clubhouse. So he does have that big impact on guys. I really do think you make a good point there.
Yeah, just speaking of Trammell quickly, as the co-president of his fan club, I really root for this guy. I mean,
who's the other side of the fan club?
Dave. Dave and I interviewed him last year when he first came over and just fell in love with the guy. I mean, you couldn't find a nicer, you know, kinder individual in pro sports than Taylor Trammell. So I am really rooting for the guy. I'm just starting to wonder, is he, we asked the question about Sam Haggerty, is he an everyday player? Is Trammell more of a fourth outfielder, do you think? If you're projecting him for, how do you see him?
You'd love to see, and by the way, if you guys are the co-presidents, can I be the vice president or maybe
absolutely
left co? Maybe that's left co. I'll be the the press secretary.
Yeah, Lefko's out. You're the vice president.
Yeah, I'll be the prime minister. How about that?
Okay.
There we go. So, but I think Taylor Trammell, I think there's when you ask about the playing time with him, I think it's in there. It really is in there. He has made so many adjustments to the place where he's like, oh, wow, this feels like it's clicking. And we just haven't had a good, rock-solid chance to see that on an everyday basis. It's going to be tough for him to see that in these next couple of months, because he's just not going to get the playing time because of where the team's at. But if you can give him a chance where it's, you know, May, June, for example, and you, there are a couple injuries. I think if you gave him a chance to play every single day, yes, he could play, be every day or a fourth outfielder for sure. But I think it's going to be tough when he comes back. Where does he fit in? You know, you mentioned Sam Haggerty as well. It's going to be tough because this team is in a completely different spot than what they were, you know, 12 months ago.
Yeah, just and by the way, the lineups are out. Looking at the Mariners lineup for today, Julio Rodriguez is in there hitting leadoff, followed by Ty France, Mitch Haniger, Jesse Winker, Gino Suarez, Carlos Santana, Adam Frazier, Cal Raleigh, J.P. Crawford batting ninth. So there you go. There's your lineup for today. And looking at this team, we just talked about, you know, seeing these guys healthy, seeing Haniger and Julio in the lineup for the first time since April. And Aaron Boone talking about this team, you know, just sort of getting a objective perspective, if you will, somebody outside of it. Talking about it, saying not going to be surprised at all if they see the Mariners again.
Do you feel like that could be a team you might run into?
Oh, I think, yeah, absolutely. I think they're really good. They can pitch. Obviously have some good starters, but their bullpen is, you know, I think about as good a bullpen as we face. They can mix and match. They got right and left in their lineup. Obviously, they're going to get Rodriguez back. And it's, you know, that team certainly feels for real.
And he's not lying about that bullpen, Ryan. You look at him, best ERA in baseball, this bullpen. Same with WHIP. Opponent batting average is at 180, hits per nine innings since June 21st. You know, so this bullpen, we talked about it before the season, the idea that, well, They were unbelievable last year, and in my opinion, the biggest reason they won 90 games. Yeah. But the idea they were going to duplicate it was like, okay, you just don't see that year to year. It just seems like bullpens they're up one year, then they're down the next year, even if it's the same cast. They started out slow, but now they look like they did last year, which is spectacular.
Yeah, and I think now you have starting pitching that's going to go 110 pitches. You know, when you're talking to Luis Castillo, when you're talking Marco Gonzalez, even when you're talking Robbie Ray, Logan Gilbert, they're going to get deeper, so it's going to take the pressure off them. And you mentioned it too. Is it sustainable? Like there was a stretch there earlier this year where they were just, you know, best bullpen in baseball. You're like, is this going to be sustainable? Well, all of a sudden, these last 10 games, you've got a 1.89 ERA as a bullpen in the last 10. Yes, it's sustainable. It's a matter of how much help do they get from the starting rotation. Once you get to the end of August, where are they at? Who's out of gas? You know, is Andrés Muñoz all of a sudden going to hit a wall because this is his first time ever in his life he's had this much of a workload? You know, is same as Eric Swanson even. He has not been this much volume or frequency as a bullpen guy. But, man, when you hear other managers bring up the bullpen, that's a sign of – because that's where the game's managed, right? When the bullpens are going against each other, that's when you really manage it. And they're paying attention going, man, this is really, really tough to face who we're going to face in the 7-8-9. They've been so good. And pitching, that's the profile of this team. That's the pitching. And we saw that this last series. They had times where they couldn't score runs, but, man, that bullpen has come up massive again, even after we said, is this sustainable last year?
What do you think of the addition of Chris Flexen into the bullpen? Do you like that?
I do. I know it's tough for him. I don't want a situation. I don't believe this is the case because, look, I've been there before too where they tell you, oh, look, we really think you're going to be valuable in the bullpen. And then 10 days later, you haven't sniffed the field. And then you start getting angry and you try and do too much or you're mad at the team and you start having these conversations. I don't see that with Chris Flexen at all. I think that something like this in the situation he's in, now that he's been pushed out of the rotation, which, again, another tough pill to swallow. It really is. He's not sitting there going, oh, yeah, hey, I love this team. I just want to help out.
Hey, this is great.
Hopefully get – no. He is – it was a tough flight to Texas.
And he's an intense dude as it is.
Yes. And here he is, come back from Korea, pitched his butt off, been the most consistent guy for the last 2 years in this rotation. And, oh, hey, by the way, August, we're pretty good now. Smell ya. You know what I mean? So it's a tough pill. I'm telling you right now, man. It's tough. I mean, he's got – great numbers. He's got great consistency in every fifth day. He's out there and he's picking you up when your team's scuffling and he's pitched well against the Astros, all these little elements. So I think that, I think it can help. Absolutely. It can bridge the gap or if they have a blowout or whatever. But I just hope that it's not such a transition for him, even mentally too, where he's frustrated because he wants to get back in that rotation and he just goes about his business, which I'm sure he will. He'll never admit that. But I've been there before and, you know, you, I think it can help for sure, but I'm feeling for him right now. Put it that way. If you can't hear it in my voice,
does his game, the way he approaches it? I mean, do you feel like, yeah, he'll fit well coming out of the bullpen? His style, his approach will work well in that role, or do you feel like, nah, he's going to really have to change how he goes about it, how he attacks hitters?
Yeah, he will have to change a little bit. You're going to have situations, and it is a massive, massive adjustment. It really is. You may see a little spike in velocity if he decides to try and let it eat every single pitch, but you're going to see he's a four-pitch man. So he started throwing a little bit of a slider too, but he's fastball, cutter, and curveball to righties, and then to lefties, he's a fastball changeup guy. So if he comes in, faces a lefty, and now we'll play some of those matchups with him, not saying he's going to pitch the ninth inning or close it out or anything like that, but if it's a short stint and he's coming in a close game, you'll see a little bit of a different pitch mix. But if his role is going to be piggyback role for George Kirby, or, you know, starting gets blown out after three, he'll go four or five. So you won't see that big of a difference when it comes to what his repertoire is.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he functions in that, because you've done both. You're a starter. Yep. You've come out of the bullpen. Was that a massive adjustment for you?
Honestly, for me, some guys struggle going into the bullpen. For me, because I don't know if it's, yeah, if I've got, I don't even know if I've got ADHD or what it is, but the hardest thing about starting, whether you're doing good or bad, is the 4 days in between. Oh, man, because you watch so much and all you're thinking about is that next start. You're like, and you play it in your head over and over, that start, and it can sort of psych you out a little bit. And so for me, being a bullpen guy, I just didn't want to know when I was pitching. Phone rings, get going. You've only got five pitches and in you go. Boom. All right, sweet, let's go. And I'm just going in as hard as I can for as long as I can. Starting pitching, you had to make sure you're researching on the scouting report. You got to face this guy three times. You got blah, blah, blah. All these extra stuff that I just didn't want to deal with. You know, it's like I was back at school. So I was better off in the bullpen, honestly, like mindset-wise and everything else. But some guys are better off that. Some guys want those days in between. Some guys want to have a situation where they walk two guys in a row. They know they're not getting taken out of a game. They can ease into a game. Mm. You know, and Justin Verlander's talked about that too. He's one of the best in the game. He just knows that it's going to take him a couple innings to feel like he is 100% the best he could possibly be. And you see that physically with him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right. Coming up, we thought we were done with this guy, but. You can never truly get rid of him. A strong candidate for the Wyman Hall of Fame coming your way next. It is Wyman and Bob with Ryan Roland Smith in today. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Tell me why. Why, man? Why?
Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
He's a habitual line stepper.
What were you thinking? What are you doing?
Why are you the way that you are?
It's the Why Man of the Week.
Why Man is presented by Mazda of Everett. And one more reminder, we got Mean Text coming up in the next segment, and we do have a new text number. So just keep this in mind, write it down, put it in your phone, whatever you need. 866-979-3776. Again, 866-979-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. That is coming up in about 15 minutes from now. But Ryan, this is... You've heard us talk about Antonio Brown a time or 10, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I had forgotten all about him. Forgotten all about him. The guy is just as big of a clown as you're ever going to see in pro sports. I think it goes further than just being an entitled clown. I think he's got something seriously going on with him. And his latest tweet, or one of his latest tweets, sort of emphasizes that. And this is, I thought this was fake. I thought this was like a Photoshop or this is somebody having fun, but yeah. Apparently it's not. Here's what he wrote on Twitter. It says, "My biggest regret in my career doesn't involve calling my GM a cracker or showing up to Raiders camp late in a hot air balloon with frozen feet or throwing rocks at that UPS driver. And it definitely doesn't involve taking my shirt off and doing a victory lap around Jet Stadium mid-game while throwing up deuces. My biggest regret is I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play a game live. Sure, I can watch the game afterwards, but I can't imagine what it was like for you all to see something like that, like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rocks." What what do you even say to somebody who thinks that way? If that's how their mind is working, if that makes sense to them to write that down and put it out for consumption and they believe it.
Now, here's the thing. When you go back and look at some of the comments from ex-teammates talking about how much he's given up on his team and, you know, all the how many times he's been forgiven, and there's some pretty stern words about it. See, I can sit here and laugh. I'm not an ex-teammate. I'm not someone in the front office or a family member who has to put up with him. So you can sit there and it's, you know, it there's a little bit of humor involved. I get that. But deep down, and you know this too, Bob, there is a very sad element here. It's kind of heartbreaking because it's just that addiction to being relevant. Now all of a sudden it gets the desperate measures where you see this on social media where people lose their mind because they just have to have some kind of relevancy. And that's the sad part. You wonder where this goes for him. You know, is there, and you kind of hope, I know, look, I don't know the guy personally, but you hope there's something out there to scratch that itch where he can somehow be relevant, because otherwise it's going to obviously bring himself and family members down, you know, along the way here as he wraps up his NFL career, because his whole identity is being an NFL player. And, you know, when you're succeeding and you're doing, you know, big things in your career, you can get away with being a certain type of human being. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the tough part for me.
He just, I feel like people, when they think of him now, it's not about how good he was though. It's about who he became. He became a cartoon. He became a movie character. He became this guy like, are you kidding me? He did what? He said what? And he just chronicled them all in that message there. It wasn't calling my GM a cracker. It wasn't showing up late in a hot air balloon or throwing rocks at the UPS driver. I mean, he was giving you a list of all the dumb things he's done and said, and that's not all of them. But those are some of the highlights, some of his greatest hits, if you will.
But that's what I'm saying. When you're not speaking on the field, when your actions are not speaking for you as an athlete, all that's what I'm talking about with the desperation. Now all of a sudden you have to bring up these things that get you and I talking about him, which is really sad. And then you ask yourself, where does it go from here? If that's his relevancy now in this point in time, it's like, man, where does it go from here? It's just, yeah.
Jeez, my biggest regret is I never got to see me.
See, that's funny. I find that funny. Like, I think it's hilarious. But then you go back and look at, you know, like I said, the people who have been around him, their feelings about him, and you're like, oh, okay, it's not that funny, apparently. Oh. If he was some, you know, I've had teammates who just drive you nuts, man. Like, just absolutely drive you nuts. And you look at that and you're just like, oh, it's just, there's no humor in it. But then I've had teammates who would say stuff like that, and obviously they're being funny. But they're tolerable to be around. And so that's the hard part when you look at that, man.
Yeah, people are texting in saying it has to be fake. It's fake. It's on his page, his verified account.
And he's retweeting it. He's retweeting responses to it.
He's not challenging it like, hey, this is somebody's having fun or somebody's trying to make me look. No. He's retweeting it. And I just... My biggest regret is I couldn't watch me. I can't imagine what it was like for you to watch me. It must have been life-changing, like the Beatles or Jesus.
Yeah. Another thing too, Bob, when you see players, not at his level of fame, but I've seen this too with baseball players who you may not have heard about, but when they go to social media hoping that a front office, like, for example, a player's not getting picked up, but no team's going to sign him as a minor league invitee or something like that. And I've seen this a bunch, right? And all of a sudden they're on social media, they're putting a video and, hey guys, I'm out here, you know, so to speak. It's like no GM, no front office or any scout is going on social media going, oh, wow, look, man, I forgot about him. Let's call him up. When players and athletes go to social media to sort of voice their relevancy, whether it's good or bad, it's just a sad time. That's for sure.
All right. Well, he takes a cake. I'll tell you what, man. Yeah. Jeez. Entrant number two would be, and we always talk about baseball. You always hear people that are longtime baseball fans talk about the fact that you'll always see something you've never seen before. No matter how long you've been watching the game, or in your case, playing it, there'll always be a moment or something you're just like, I've never seen that. I'd never seen or heard about this, and this is Rodolfo Castro sliding headfirst into third base, and his cell phone comes out of his back pocket.
Castro slides into third. His phone comes out of his pocket. Now that's a first. And there's Adam Hammery. Dude, your phone is down. Hey, right there.
Now, you've been obviously spent a lot of time in a clubhouse, and we on the outside are looking at that kind of chuckling going, really, you knucklehead? And the look from the third base coach was like, are you serious? How is that received in the clubhouse? Man. Is it jokes or is it, dude, you're an idiot? Is the manager ticked? I mean, how does that go over?
No, this doesn't go over well at all. Now, it's funny. You go back, 10 years ago, and there was always these signs, hey, or managers didn't want you to be on your phone in the clubhouse. They wanted you talking to other teammates, getting work in, et cetera. And you walk in the clubhouse now, it's completely different. Everyone's, all over the phones.
Yeah.
But the off limits, I think, is set in stone. There is no getting around it. Your phone never, ever goes into the place of battle, not even in the dugout, on the field. So when you see this, there is no, there could be a couple chuckling moments right off the bat. But if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, first of all, you're struggling, right? Managers who are supposed to manage you as a human being, not just as a player, not on the field, not making, pinch hitting decisions and stuff, but they're going to manage you as an individual as well. Their jobs are on the line because the team's struggling, right? And coaches, everyone's on the chopping block with stuff like this. And all of a sudden, a phone comes flying out of the pocket. It is a bad look. That is shocking. And I'm looking at this just going, wow, how does that happen? How does he have a cell phone in his pocket? For what reason? Except for nothing but your attention is away from what you're supposed to be doing, and that's producing on the field.
Yeah, could be part of the reason that they're 22 games under 500 right now. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, just a bad team and not a proud moment, I would imagine.
This actually, I don't get too fired up, but this really bothers me, this. I can't tell you. You were in the big leagues. There is 1,000 kids and there is 1,000 minor league players and indie ball players wanting to be where you're at. And you've got your cell phone. There should be not one moment at all when you're on the field in a major league stadium that your attention should be on anything but what you're doing. And that cell phone is just sapping your attention. So that kind of drives me nuts a little bit, honestly, looking at that.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just, hey, you kind of chuckle because it's so dumb. Really?
So
wow. Okay. Hey, another reminder, with the Seahawks taking on the Steelers in their preseason opener tomorrow on 710, you can catch the Mariners Rangers game in its entirety on 770 AM KTTH. So the Mariners pregame coverage starts at 3:00, first pitch at 4:15, again, 770 AM tomorrow. We got Mean Text coming up next. Again, a new text number, if you haven't heard, 866-979-3776. That's 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Mean Text coming your way next. It's Wyman and Bob with Ryan Roland Smith in Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Well, it's how we end the show every Friday. No matter where the ending is, we're going to turn you over to the Mariners pregame show coming up at 4:00. So a short show today, but we always have time for Mean Text, and we collect them throughout the week. One more reminder, there is a new text number, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. And we got our first entry came via cell phone from our buddy Adam Ray, who we're all going to see this weekend at Laughs. I would highly, highly recommend you guys go out there and check him out. We'll be out there for the late show on Saturday, which I think is 9:30, the 9:30 show. So we'll catch his finale. We'll catch him when he's warmed up. He's tried out all the material on the audiences before us, and we get to see the finished product. So, yeah, we'll be out there Saturday at the late show. But, yeah, check him out. But he kind of did a cool thing and took a shot at you, Thumb.
Yeah, we have an audio submission here. So he was with a guy named Ben Johns, and this is who Ben Johns is.
Yo, what's up, Mike? I hear your pickleball game is about as good as your nickname, Thumb. I heard you trash on the court from your buddy here. That's coming from somebody that's seen a lot of players. I think you should just hang it up now and go home.
Yeah, because who are you?
I'm pretty decent at pickleball.
Aren't you the number one pickleball player in the world?
Fact.
Suck it, Thumb.
Now, explain to people who that was and what it was.
Yeah, he's the number one ranked. He's the top pickleball player in the world, and he's dominant. He wins all the time.
But somehow,
he's 23 years old.
Somehow, I'm watching videos of him right now.
Ben Johns,
man.
Yeah, somehow Ryan Adam Ray was in a room with him somewhere and got this video and got him to record this video. The number one pickleball player in the world.
And just told me to give it up.
Yeah.
Man, devastating.
Or Mike Lefko means that much to Adam Ray that he seeked out Ben Johns. Like, he where is he right now? I need to go see him.
He went on so a search for him. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, that's cool.
The number one guy in the world at your favorite sport.
Not my favorite sport. Is
mentioning you.
Favorite sport to play right now.
And he was fun. He had a couple lines there, too. He said, your game's as bad as you think. Now, is that Adam Ray giving him those lines?
Yeah, probably.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. That's
pretty cool. That's pretty cool. If he would have done that with, somebody in the world of MMA saying that to me, that would have been kind of cool. That would have been kind of cool.
He's got to do that for you now.
Yeah, now he's got to go find, you know, go out there with, I don't know, John Jones or George St. Pierre or one, you know, some of the greats. Do that. All right. That was cool. That was courtesy of Adam Ray. Again.
I will say this real quick. When he was doing his Mike Lefko impression, I was I nearly slid off the road when I was driving. It was that funny. It was gold. But I will say this, Mike. I mean, what a form of flattery. You've got Adam Ray who's just nailing the impression.
Yeah.
Whether he's making fun of you or not.
I feel like it's going to be an hour and a half of him making fun of me on Saturday.
I don't think he's going to devote his whole set to you, man. Let's not get crazy.
Yeah, easy, easy.
Let's not get crazy, man. Maybe he throws out a comment. I don't know.
Little ego here.
Yeah, okay. We'll find out. Everybody should go find out. He'll be at Laughs tonight and tomorrow, and we'll be out there for the late show tomorrow. But go ahead.
Let me sneak in one about Wyman. Then we actually have a lot about Ryan Roland Smith today.
What?
Yeah.
They don't say mean things to Ryan.
A ton came in about Ryan. But here's a good one about Dave. 509. Dave's been so forgetful this week, he's probably asking Rabel in Pittsburgh where they are, followed by, oh, so you want to get a brewski and some chicken tendies?
Oh. See,
there you go.
You lost me on the tendies part.
What was it? You guys asked me about that. Oh, punchies.
Punchies.
That's right. Punchies.
He's got, and then I heard another one the other day when they were talking about earned runs and they called them Ernie's.
Yeah, see, I used to, I'm not going to admit this. I may have said an Ernie here and there.
Oh, Don't do it.
Not on air, though. Not during a game of the week. I'll tell you right now. Not that I've ever done a game of the week, but I probably would. The punchies is brutal, man.
Oh.
Like, you guys asked me about that, and I had to quickly make sure who it was that I was going to be making fun of by saying that. That's why I was a little bit reserved. But no, that's a no-go.
I was a little reserved.
206 asks Ryan, actually. They say, hey, Ryan, why didn't you get that eye surgery when you were pitching for the M's?
Oh. That's a good one. I did. I just the glasses were just the cover. It's like, I can't see anything. That's why I've got a 6 in the big leagues. Thanks.
Wow.
Thanks,
buddy.
Yeah.
That's
2010.
A good
shot. I'll tell you what. I need more than eye surgery in 2010. Put it that way. I need plenty more than that. Just that. Let me tell you.
Wow. This person from the 509 just sent in 10 fired at me in a row. Some of them good. Uh-oh. Some not so good. Can't Seattle Sports DFA Bob so we don't have to put up with him anymore? All right. Not bad. And then somebody had one. There was actually a guy I've gone back and forth with, a guy or girl yesterday, who was, take legitimate shots. They're not a huge fan, but they text in all the time. And said something, made a crack about, a local celebrity texting me is such an honor, sarcasm. And I said, yeah, let me know if you need an autograph. And then they said, no, I've already got enough useless stuff around my house. And I didn't get a chance to respond. But that was a good shot. They finally landed one. So I
like it.
All credit.
That is good. Jen in Beaverton says, Dave's not here today because he heard the text number was changing again. Threw up his hands and said, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, Ryan, it took him forever to memorize the one we had before, which he still flubs here and there. So this is going to be a whole new world for him.
Well, it's his responsibility to read it, I take it. Is that right?
No, actually. I'm usually the one, but when he does do it, he would kind of munch it here and there. So he's got to start all over.
The spirit of Danny says, Dave played so long ago, he remembers the first forward pass. I think that was in regards to something else. I forgot that one. But we do have a good one about me going to the show this weekend. 206 says, Bob, make sure you bring some tissues for Thumb this weekend so you can go cry to Mama after the comedy show. Have fun.
It's gonna be a good time, and I don't think you're in for a lot of damage.
I think Mike Lefko thinks it's gonna be like a roast for him.
Yeah.
He's gonna sit on a seat, and all of a sudden Adam Ray is just gonna let him have it.
Like they're gonna have his picture up there, and his the
exactly.
Roast of Mike Lefko tonight at Laughs. No, it's he might throw a shot your way. We'll all find out together.
Oh,
late show Saturday night, going to see Adam Ray. All right, that does it for us. I want to to thank our guest today, Sam Haggerty, for joining us on the program. Ryan, thank you for hanging out. We're going to see you on Saturday. Everybody, have a great weekend. Anything you missed is available on the podcast page at seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab. Click on our picture. It's right there. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday with Wyman and Bob.